This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Keith, you ready for Undefeated back on for the Celtics?
I am ready.
I think they run the table now.
I don't think they're losing again.
Why? Who could beat them? Who on earth? What team? What group of players could defeat the Celtics right now?
I'll tell you, not the Clippers.
I don't think the Clippers have it this year. You know, they missed their window there when they had Kawhi and PG-13. They never really did much. Now PG-13 is off to the basketball factory that is the Sixers.
Yeah, so that's going not well, happening. Yeah.
But it was a nice night for the Seas.
They look good. They look like a good team.
I'm going to tell you, early on I thought it looked I'll play my side of the street.
Yeah, get over there.
Early on I thought it looked a little rocky with Porzingis. Like they were trying to get him worked in.
It's been out a long time.
He's been out a long time. Yeah. Although again, we were blown away by the news in the middle of the show yesterday.
Oh, breaking news.
That he was back before Thanksgiving.
I know.
I thought he'd be back in 2025. And so I thought it was a little rocky to start. It was 10-10 while he was out there. It was 6-plus minutes. They were trying to get him shots. They were, I thought, shoehorning him in, forcing him into the offense. I didn't think he looked that great defensively either, by the way. Like, you got to stop on Zubats on the first possession. Not really.
Take that, Zubats.
He missed a shot. Like, I don't know that it was his defense.
No, Zubats had a good game.
He did. After that first stint for Porzingis, and they went on a big run the second he got off the floor.
Yeah.
But after that first stint for Porzingis, he looked really, really good.
Yeah.
And the Celtics look really, really good.
I think you and I, though, have realistic expectations for Porzingis, which is when he's out there, he's great, but he's not going to be out there. Like, he just isn't going to be out there all the time. There was, like, a couple of seasons where I felt the same way about Rob Gronkowski, where you're like, when he's out there, there's nobody better. But is he going to be out there every game? Fingers crossed, right? You're just like, every time he takes a hit or whatever, you're kind of holding your breath. And I feel that with Porzingis. Now, luckily, unlike a lot of other teams, that if they lost their third best player, you'd be like, they're probably done. Or they can't go as far. That's the one thing that's really remarkable about the Celtics is they can and did win the title without Porzingis. And yet, we all recognize what a true unicorn he is. And when he's right, like how much more of a mismatch the Celtics are for every other team in the league, to have a guy out there that's 7'3", that can block shots, shoot threes, fits in well with this team is crazy. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what a fair number to say. Like, how many games is he going to play? How many playoff games? Or what percentage of games is he going to play? I have no idea. That was the only thing, going back to when the Celtics traded for Porzingis, I was maybe not as happy as you that they traded Marcus Smart, but I was like fine with them trading Smart. I was like, all right, you tried this. It didn't work. Mm-hmm. You're getting a better player, but how many games is he going to play? Like that was the only real drawback with Porzingis. It has been his whole career.
Yeah. So, you know, we can get into how much they actually need him. Cause I tend to be with you that this team does not need Porzingis to win a championship. He makes it a lot easier.
Oh,
obviously
you
want as many talented players as you can get to go win a title. But I never believed last year they needed him. They didn't last year. I guess the counterpoint would be, will the road through the postseason be any more difficult, and will you need Porzingis for that? I guess that would be the counterpoint to it. You're not going to play a bunch of injured teams and then a 5 seed in the NBA Finals every single year. You're fortunate to get that. No one's taking away the banner. But you were fortunate to get that road last year without Porzingis. Are you going to need him this year for that? We can get into it with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. Where do you think Porzingis helped the most last night, Keith?
I mean, I think he is just the guy defensively. I know you said there were times where you're like, all right, you know, he wasn't 100% locked in. He's coming back off a long injury. But I think defensively is where he does give them the most. I think they could score plenty of points with or without him. I know he's dynamic offensively. But just having that other body, especially on the nights that you don't have Horford, I like Kata maybe more than most. He has really crashed back down to earth. He had a great game last night.
Nice dunk last night.
Sort of everybody on the team. But I just think that's one of those things where can teams exploit the Celtics in the paint? You know, you saw the other night The Cavs, for example, even though the Celtics beat them, I mean, they scored, they got back in the game because they were just getting so many easy buckets, and they had a ton of fast break and then in the paint points. So I just think that presence, having a guy out there that is at least a threat to block shots or make shots more difficult, is where he really stands out.
Yeah, I would agree. And I've been critical of their defense from night one. You know this. I think Porzingis, my only criticism was on his original stint. I think he really helped their defense after that first stint. I mean, it makes sense. He's been out forever. He missed a bunch of time in the playoffs last year. He's missed the whole start to this year. It makes sense that first stint would look rocky and disjointed, and I think he hurt their rhythm. But that was the first half of the first quarter. After that, I think he played good defense.
Yeah.
After that, I think he looked like he fit right in. And so I would feel good about that. I think he helped the most with their defense, though, Keith. The Clippers were on the second night of a back-to-back, as were the Celtics. They shot 43%, and they only hit seven threes, 27% from three.
Yeah.
So the one thing, did you hear any of Brad Stevens on the broadcast last night?
I actually didn't. No, I had the sound down.
He sat in for, I don't blame you for that. He sat in for the second quarter last night. Okay. Yeah. And if you were watching on NBC Sports Boston, you know what I'm talking about.
Second quarter, the Celtics played well.
They did. They hit 12 threes.
The second quarter, I mean, this was similar to the Dolphins' second quarter.
Yeah.
Where the Dolphins were on, if they just did everything they did, they would have scored 100 points. The Celtics, based on what they did, they scored 51 points in the second quarter. So that would have been a 200-point game in regulation had they just kept that pace up.
They hit 51 points, 12 threes, which tied an NBA record for any quarter in NBA history. So Stevens was sitting there. First of all, he worked a little blue.
Oh, really?
He dropped
a cuss on the broadcast.
He dropped an ass last night on the broadcast.
What?
Yeah, it was very aggressive. I gave Lucas the earmuffs there.
He's losing his filter a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, he's a little, he's champion now. No one's going to tell him what to do.
No, sir.
So first of all, he's working a little blue.
Yep.
Second of all, you heard him on the broadcast. It's actually very amusing. They'd give up a layup and he'd go, another layup. And then they'd hit a layup in the paint. He'd go, another layup. And Scal called him. Scal's like, is this what you do during the game? You just sit here and you just like chastise the team?
Probably.
So it's actually a pretty good listen. But I think Drew Carter asked him at one point, what's the biggest issue for the team? And he cited the paint disparity. Scoring in the paint. He's like, it doesn't bother me that much offensively. He's like, we're going to score. I just want us taking good shots on offense. But the disparity for, and I think that's a way of saying easy buckets allowed at the other end, the points in the paint, are what concerns Brad Stevens. Now, last night, you'd think they did a really good job on that. The Celtics allow 53 paint points per game. Last night, it was 58.
Yeah.
So they were actually below their average. Zubats ate them up a little bit in there. There were some easy, uncontested layups. But largely to answer the question, I think that's where Porzingis helps. You felt how he alters shots at that end, how people are aware of him. That's where he makes the biggest impact. It's nice he can knock down a 25-foot three. It's nice that he can space the floor. I think his passing is very underrated. I think Jalen talked about this after the game, some backdoor cuts and things like this that I think Jalen said, I only had like twice all year. I had a bunch early last night because Porzingis moves the ball. So I think his offensive skill is obvious. I think where they needed him and where they missed him was on defense, because their defense, and you heard Brad talking about it last night, their defense had been subpar and not up to standard for them.
Well, that was the one spot when you look at their lineup. They have such great defensive guards. They might have the two best defensive guards in the NBA in Holiday and White. And then Tatum and Brown, when they want to, can play defense. And then you say, all right, what else do you have? And, Horford's not going to play all the time. And then it's Kata and Tillman. Like, so you're asking a lot out of those guys, see if they can throw him in there on the best team in the NBA and give him good kind of big man minutes. And they've had their ups and downs, both of those guys have. But if you swap out whatever minutes you were giving them to Porzingis, like, that's not even fair to the other teams.
It's a wild upgrade.
Yes, it's a huge upgrade. And then there are going to be games, and depending on the matchups too, where Porzingis and Horford are on the floor together, right? Like, they have a big lineup they can go to if they want. They can also go small. But there's just not a lot of teams that are going to be able to match up with the Celtics.
So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. What'd you think of Porzingis in his return? Where did the Celtics miss him the most? And you can also jump in on this question. Do they need him this year, Keith? They didn't a year ago. Do they need him to defend their title, raise banner 19? Do they need Porzingis for that?
So they don't need him to win the East. I'm pretty confident in that. I think I like Cleveland, but I like them to a certain degree. I like them to a certain level. They probably shouldn't be the second best team in the Eastern Conference, but in my opinion, they are. And I don't think you need them. I know they have Mobley and Allen, and those guys might each have a good game here or there, but I don't think you need it. If you get a healthy team out of the West, whoever that might be, whoever emerges from the West, whether it's that Minnesota team we just saw over the weekend, maybe Oklahoma City puts it all together, or maybe Jokic just takes the Nuggets and puts them on their back and gets all the way to the finals. At that point, you might, right? Like, you might. Like, I'm not going to say, you know, if Porzingis is out for that series, oh, they have no chance. That'd be crazy. But that might be a little bit different. Because last year, Luka and Kyrie, not a real, like, great team.
No.
Right? Two elite offensive players. And that's kind of it. You know, it's amazing that they got as far as they did. But the Celtics didn't, you know, they shouldn't have had a problem with them. And they really didn't have a problem with them. But if you get a better team out of the West this year, that would be the one thing where you say, man, maybe you do need Porzingis.
So the only reason I bring it up is for what you just said. You're not going to get, I don't think, the number five seed Mavericks, who are Luka, Kyrie, and then what? And you're not going to get the Cavs without Donovan Mitchell, the Heat without Jimmy Butler, the Pacers without Tyrese Haliburton. You're just not going to get that.
No.
And so, look, you can say the Celtics were shorthanded too last year. They didn't have Porzingis. And that's fair, but those guys all got lost in the middle of these series a year ago. Like, Mitchell played a game. Butler, I'm not actually sure, started the series. Haliburton, all those guys started the postseason. And I think it'd be fair to say, all right, do we need Porzingis to match a healthy team?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. You might. And I just don't know that you can count on Porzingis, which is the scariest thing about him. As much as he helps the team and it's obvious, I don't know that you can count on him being out there. So the problem is, if you do need Porzingis, and you feel that you do, and you feel like he gives the team that big of a lift, I don't know that it's going to be as easy as a year ago. Cleveland is better. They still don't scare me. I'm not sure anybody in the East scares me.
No, there's no way. The East right now, so Cleveland is 17-1, right? And then after them, you have the Orlando Magic have the third best record in the East.
Not scary at all.
That's not a team that you're worried about. I know you've been on the Knicks, and maybe that's the one team just based on personnel.
That's still my, that's still the team that, if they can get the most out of their talent, that's still the scariest team in the East, but they're not a real threat to the Celtics. They're not.
No, and if it's Tatum, Brown, and the rest of the guys outside of Porzingis, they're still beating the Knicks. Maybe it goes to the sixth game or something, but like, they're still beating them. No, the West is much more intriguing to me. You know, if a healthy team emerges out of there, who is it? Because that's going to be a much more difficult path. You know, the Celtics could have a pretty easy cakewalk, even if everybody's healthy, in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Whereas in the Western Conference playoffs, I feel like whoever gets there had three legitimate series wins to get to the finals.